The Napoleonic Era. Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821. Napoleon's Companions, Part 3. The Montholons. Now, Brigadier General Count Charles Tristan de Montholon was a man whose rise in the world owed as much to his connections as to his capabilities. And in some cases, he seems like an odd choice to have thrown himself in to Napoleon's group. But he is still an important member of this new entourage. He was born in 1783 into a family that had many chancellors of France among its ancestors. Montholon claimed to have made the acquaintance of the Bonapartes at the age of 19, alleging that while on shore leave in Ajaccio, Corsica, he had stayed at their home and had studied mathematics under Napoleon, then a lieutenant home from Brienne on furlough. And he also learned Latin from Lucien, Napoleon's brother. Later, his association with the highly placed members of the consular court resulted in his promotion to colonel when he was only 26. He was made chamberlain to Josephine in 1809. He then made a mistake that nearly cost him his career. Without Napoleon's knowledge or consent, he secretly married his mistress, Abeline Elena de Vassal, a fashionable woman whose reputation had provided Parisian gossips with many hours of eyebrow-raising conversation. When Napoleon found out, and this is, of course, while he was in Russia, he angrily dismissed Montholon and banished him to the provinces, where he not only lived in disgrace, but unfortunately also in debt. Eventually, a shortage of generals worked in Montholon's favor. That's what happens after the Russian invasion. He commanded the Department of the Loire in 1814. After Napoleon abdicated to Elba, Montholon's stepfather, Simonville, prevailed on Louis XVIII to appoint him a brigadier general. So here's a man who served under Napoleon and then got on the wrong side of Napoleon, but was still able to get a command. But then again, Louis XVIII is also short on generals. But once Napoleon returned from France to France from Elba, he relinquished his command and met up with Napoleon in the forest of the Fontainebleau and followed him to Paris. Although he played no significant role in the Hundred Days campaign, he managed to attach himself to Napoleon after Waterloo. Now, Madame de Montholon was several years older and had striking blue eyes and lovely brown hair. She was a very gentle person and had a very tactful manner. And she became one of the most popular members of Napoleon's suite. The Montholons had a son who also accompanied them in the exile. So this is one of the families that Napoleon was concerned about when they were thinking about escaping. And she is probably the main reason why the family ends up in his group. When 1815, Montholon and his wife were chosen to accompany Napoleon to St. Helena, where they actually remained until Napoleon's death in 1821. But they made enemies among the rest of Napoleon's entourage. And that's something that once we get to St. Helena, we'll see this dynamic of the pecking order on the island. Circumstantial evidence says he may have been implicated in attempts to poison Napoleon on the orders of the Duc d'Artois. French historians have not liked Montholon at all. He's frequently accused of this. Although, if he's poisoning him with arsenic, he's really wasting his time. And something we'll talk about when we get to Napoleon's death. But Napoleon's been taking arsenic all of his life. It's a standard stomach medication. And hair samples of his show that he had exceedingly high levels of arsenic long before he sent in the exile. And this is one of those poisons that you get used to. So you're not going to give him one dose of arsenic. You'd probably have to, give him a whole gallon of it to have any effect on him. He was also the executor of Napoleon's will, in which he also received a substantial sum of money. As with many of the other people, he wrote his personal memoirs called The Memoirs of St. Helena. It's very contentious and is a plagiarized account of his exile, but it still made him money. Actually, everybody made money off of it, just not as much as others. Unfortunately, he was still a financial embarrassment, despite favor that was shown to him by King Louis Philippe, who is the king who takes over after Charles X, and in the period between 1848 and, of course, in addition, he's also the king of France at the time Napoleon's body is returned. So Montholon is able to, you know, he starts out, he gets another Bonaparte, works with him, works with Louis XVIII. Now he's back over here. In 1840, he then, of course, joins Louis Napoleon in his failed coup and was then imprisoned. He was released from prison in 1847 and elected a deputy in the National Assembly. So he actually hangs around long enough to see Napoleon III come into power, and he dies in 1853. But, you know, he doesn't have much of a military career, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's not particularly well-liked, because what is a non-military official doing with his entourage? And, you know, his going back and forth with the Bourbon government is also a little troublesome. But, hey, you know, that's the way it is. And we'll learn more about him. There is a story that it was his wife who was one of Napoleon's mistresses on the island of St. Helena. So we'll look at the sexual aspect of the exile at another time. Now, the sources for this, Napoleon in Exile, is 50 Days, Napoleon in England by Duhamel, Napoleon After Waterloo by Thornton, and Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Check out all of the material there, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.